You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion right here on the Prairie Punk Press Network.
The views expressed by any host or any guest on the Prairie Punk House Companion are the personal views or opinions of the people who express them and do not reflect the views or opinions of anyone else on the show or any company, employer, or any other organization that the individual expressing them has or will affiliate with in the past, present, or future. Everybody, you're listening to your Prairie Punk House Companion. We are now on episode 17. My name is Neckbone.
Hi, I'm Jer Bear.
You have a quip?
Nope.
Okay.
Guess not.
That's okay.
We're off to a good start.
All right, that counts as a quip. So the last episode we did. You know, to all the homies we've lost. And oddly enough, I remember when we recorded it, I said this is going to be one of our least popular episodes. It's actually one of our most popular episodes.
Oh, wow.
It is, nice. I think, number 5 for amount of downloads, and it only came out 2 weeks ago. So
nice.
It's beating most of the other episodes, even the ones that have been out for months now. So... thanks, wow. Everybody, for listening to that one. I guess that struck a chord with people.
Speaking of, Sunday, I went to Jason's memorial up in Manhattan. Alex came with me, and we stayed for about 2 hours. Got to see some old friends. Saw Hard Corey. He said he listens. He's commented on a few episodes on YouTube. So shout out to Hard Corey. It was good to see you, buddy. Miss you. It was a really dreary, rainy, cold day, but there were a ton of people there for Jay, and everybody was happy given the circumstances. Everybody got along. Mm-hmm. It was really chill, laid back, and just, you know, good to see so many people there for Jason. You and I got to hang out.
Yeah, we did.
About 2 weeks ago, went up to Kansas City. And then and Lawrence, and hung out for a day and a night. Mm-hmm. And that was super cool. It was really good to see you.
Yeah, I was down for a family thing. I was able to get away for a little bit. It was great seeing you. Great seeing Leahy. And glad you were able to come up. And we were able to get an actual picture together for the first time in a while.
Yes.
So...
yeah, we forgot last time for some dumb reason.
Yeah, I don't remember why.
We were just too busy hanging out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do have, and you know, while I was in Lawrence, I remembered somebody that I forgot to put in the last episode. So a lot of you may remember Jeff Milner, who lived at the Haunted Kitchen. I knew Jeff. We weren't super close, which is probably why he got missed. But I wanted to make sure that we included him here because he was kind of a staple of the Haunted Kitchen. A lot of people knew him. I had some hilarious conversations with him where he tried to convince me that pizza delivery drivers make $75,000 a year. And keep in mind, that is in 2002 dollars. Or 2004. What year was the Haunted Kitchen?
2003 and 4, okay. I believe. I was already gone.
But yeah, as somebody who has such a deep history of delivering pizzas, I can assure you that pizza delivery drivers do not make $75,000 a year, even today. So,
if they did, I would go be one.
Yeah, that'd be
that's pretty good money.
Pretty good money for
driving around in a car.
Yeah. So I wanted to include him, and I have one more addition: someone who had not died when we put the episode out, but who did die in the last week. And that's my dog, who went by the name Munchkin. His real name is Danny. But his punk name was Munchkin for some reason. Well, we always called him on the show. He had cancer and, didn't, make it, unfortunately. And I think today marks the first time I am able to talk about it without breaking down into tears. So, hey, there's a step in the right direction there.
Losing pets is really hard.
It is. It is. My son has had a very difficult time understanding what's happening because he is four. So,
yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
When our cat died and my middle daughter was 5, maybe 6, she stood up on our kitchen counter and reached for the heavens to try and get Muffin Cat back.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, in the long run, it's going to be way harder on me and my wife. We had that dog before my son was even born. So he's been a part of our family for a long, long, long time. And I'm not going to lie, the house feels kind of empty without him in it. So, but I guess we should probably tell everybody what this episode is going to be about. Or
it's about scumbags.
Right. So this the question is, can you separate the art from the artist? And I think the answer to that question is, it depends on a lot of variables. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where do you draw the line on your ability to overlook bad to criminal behavior and still be able to enjoy art or whatever in any medium, you know. Mostly talking about punk rockers here, but there may be some crossover stuff because
stray into other territory, I'm sure, just because we are influenced by other things other than punk sometimes. The reason I had the idea to do this episode was because we were talking about, I think a couple episodes ago, we were talking about Leftover Cracks / Choking Victim. I think we talked about them on our favorite bands episode because I said I learned about Leftover Crack because of Citizen Fish. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to give Choking Victim / Leftover Crack a listen because I haven't listened to them in a really long time. And some of their stuff musically holds up. And so I started wondering, can you separate the art from the artist? Some of their music is still good. The Citizen Fish split is disappointingly not as good as I remember either band. Yeah.
From either band? Yeah. Okay. That was going to be my next question.
But Fuck World Trade is solid album, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Choking Victim. I still like that too.
Hit abuse allegations against Scott Sturgeon were floating around before the most recent incident. And so there's a band called Days and Days, and they're a folk punk band. They're pretty good. I think they get a lot of shit because they're folk punk. You know, they write catchy tunes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the band members, Whitney, started dating Scott Sturgeon, and a lot of people warned her not to because he had a history of being abusive. He, you know, has addiction issues and mental health issues, and not that that is a reason for his behavior or an excusal of his behavior. It just is. He has a history of abuse. People warned her not to get hurt, basically. And he wound up beating the shit out of her and trapping her in their apartment for some days, I think. He intentionally fucked up one of her hands so she wouldn't be able to play music. That was his intention. I don't know if it worked or not. And it was just really, really ugly. And the response that she got from some people was really sad because they're like, we told you, which is not the response that you should have for somebody being abused.
Right.
That sucked. And at that, you know, the other like abuse allegations that were out there, I hadn't heard much about. I just heard that he was kind of an asshole and wasn't great to women. But then when that shit happened to Whitney, I was like, I can't fuck with them anymore. Mm-hmm. That's too brutal, too much, too fucked up. I can't listen to the music and not think about how he tried to destroy her music career.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking brutal. Fucking gnarly. So I can't fuck with them anymore.
And it's tough. And you have to wonder, you know, because you have no idea how much the other band members knew what was happening, which I have no idea how much they knew.
Right.
But you're sitting there thinking, you're like, well, this is an entire band of people, and everyone else in the band worked really hard too. So, I mean, that's the thing. Can you separate that one artist and still listen to them for the other people who were also creating that art, or is it just too much? I mean, he was the lead singer, which makes it extra difficult because you're hearing his voice.
Yeah. One, I think I don't know the history of those bands and what the other members, how integral they were to the band.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just can't fuck with it.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
And, you know, there's some other bands that I feel the same way about, but maybe to a lesser extent than I do with Leftover Crack and Choking.
I mean, and there's a few people.
Do you have more to say?
I mean, here's the thing. I'll definitely, it's tough because I did a Leftover Crack / Choking Victim re-listen, and it's tough because there's a lot of music that they made that I still like and still holds up. But yeah, it's difficult to listen to it and don't. Yeah, I feel like in some small way I would be supporting him even if only by a tiny fraction, which I don't want to do. And I didn't know the extent that you just described of what he did. I just knew that he had been accused of and, you know, was guilty, let's face it, allegedly, I guess, because there hasn't been any criminal charges, allegedly guilty of abuse. But yeah, I didn't know quite the extent of it. That definitely makes it a lot more difficult.
It's pretty fucking gnarly.
That's fucking brutal. And there's other people on my list who just kind of are assholes, but it's like, that's a little more like, you know, you've got, I mean, Jello Biafra, we talked about him, like not paying royalties to the rest of the Dead Kennedys, and that's a dick move, especially for somebody who's so anti-capitalist. But that's not nearly the same level. That's not even in the same category as what.
Yeah.
You know, the one called Stizza did.
Which also, can we talk about that name, Stizza?
Oh, yeah.
And how fucking dumb that is. I mean, he's not in Wu-Tang.
He's
like, stop.
Yeah.
Your name is Scott Sturgeon.
Right.
You're not in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Right.
Fucking stop it.
Yeah.
Scott Sturgeon.
Right. And I mean, I haven't dug into it, but I feel like, you know, there is meaning behind the names that the Wu-Tang Clan have chosen. And this, to me, on the surface, feels like cultural appropriation. I don't think he knows the Wu-Tang Clan. It's not like he was hanging out with them and they're like, hey, you're Stizza now. And he was like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, I don't think that's a thing that happened. Yeah. So
unless it was Old Dirty Bastard that did it when they were smoking crack together.
Maybe.
Could be. Never know.
Could be. Which if that's the case, then okay, fair enough on that. But still the abuse is unacceptable. Sorry. I think I'd like to go into... I remember you telling me that people have tried to justify liking the early music of this band. But I gotta mention...
Fuck.
Fucking Screwdriver, who is a band that I have literally never listened to. I've never heard a single song by them ever, and I won't because they are when I say they're Nazis, I don't just mean
Nazis.
Like they're, you know, this isn't being hyperbolic. They are literal Nazis, white supremacists.
They're
white
supremacists, neo-Nazis from Britain.
Yep,
famous for being a part of the National Front.
Mm-hmm.
Starting Rock Against Communism, huge racist pieces of shit, fucking vile motherfuckers. and I really cannot abide people defending their first album because it's good street punk or it's good oi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck if it is, because they're fucking Nazis.
Yeah.
There is no good record by them.
If you like their music, listen to Jew Driver.
Yeah.
Because they play their songs and have completely changed all the lyrics.
Yeah.
Which is a band I didn't know existed until you mentioned them.
It's funny, we're recording this 2 days after the anniversary of that fucker's greatest hit, which is running into a tree and fucking dying. Good riddance to bad fucking rubbish.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm definitely going to land on the side of, no, you can't separate the art from the artist, because it's Nazi music for Nazis made by Nazis. Like, there's no separation of those things.
Same with Burzum. I mean, Varg is a horrible fucking piece of shit,
mm-hmm.
and his fucking shitty ass Nazi black metal is shit, just like he fucking is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Varg killed one of his band members after eating their brain or something, or I don't know. I don't remember. That whole Mayhem saga is very confusing.
Weird.
Yeah. The movie about it is pretty funny, because they make Varg look like a little crybaby the whole time. It's fucking hilarious.
There's a movie about it?
Yeah, we should watch it, maybe. We should review it.
All right.
Because it's fucking hilarious. I don't know how into black metal you are, but it's pretty fucking funny.
I think
it has Kieran Culkin in it.
Oh, nice. We should have Joe on that episode, because he is, he's the black metal expert. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can probably fill my gaps on who Varg killed and how he did it.
He can fill all kinds of gaps when it comes to black metal.
Fuck Varg, fuck Burzum, and fuck all fucking National Socialist black metal. Right.
And
bullshit.
The only reason I brought up Screwdriver at all is because you told me that someone was trying to defend their early work, and I'm just thinking, they're fucking Nazis.
There's punks who try and defend that first record because it's a good oi record.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't give a fuck about oi.
Yeah,
it's. I mean, I know a lot of punks like it. That's mm-hmm. fine. Like what you like.
Yeah,
but if I was into oi, mm-hmm. I would damn sure not listen to fucking Nazi oi.
Right.
And I don't care if the first record doesn't say anything racist in their lyrics or have any Nazi fucking bullshit in that first record. Their second record was fucking Nazi shit.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to listen to the first one either. And it was Ian Stuart Donaldson in all of them. Yeah. So I'm not fucking with it. It's fucking gross.
Right. And that's the thing, like, you brought up black metal, and like, whenever I discover a new black metal band, usually if Joe suggests them to me, I know they're safe, because I know he's vetted them.
Right.
But when I discover one just on my own, I'm always like, all right, I got to do a fucking deep dive on these guys, because I want to make sure. It's one of those things you always have to do a deep dive. So if you, like me, also listen to black metal sometimes, if you discover a new band, and they're not from a safe source already, like, do a deep, deep, deep dive on them. It's my recommendation. But yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to Nazis and white supremacists, you cannot separate the art from the artist, because the white supremacy is just completely ingrained within the art. So there's no separation.
Well, its modality is to increase membership in your little white power movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's its purpose.
Yeah.
It's not art, it's propaganda, and it's propaganda for Nazi bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about some more ambiguous stuff. It's less clear cut than Nazis.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. We can go into a little more ambiguity. Like, let's jump into, one of our hometown boys right here in Chicago, Mr. Ben Weasel, assaulting fans.
I never liked Screeching Weasel, so I don't, it's not complicated for me.
Yeah.
Cause it was never my thing.
There's still some Screeching Weasel songs I like. I don't like Screeching Weasel as much as I used to. It's one of those bands I just kind of grew out of liking. I liked them a lot when I was in high school.
Sure.
They were, really poppy. I was super into the poppy stuff for a while. And there's still some songs that I think hold up. I mean, I put one of their songs in the playlist just you know, was still part of what influenced me to get deeper into punk anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the case of, I can still listen to the Screeching Weasel songs that I like. I feel like in that case, I can separate the art from the artist. I know Ben Weasel has some mental health issues. I don't agree with him assaulting fans on stage. That's a kind of a dick move, but
yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, compared to, I mean, the last people we were talking about were Nazis, so
I mean, punching women is pretty uncool.
It's very uncool. And yeah,
that's who he assaulted were two different women.
Yeah,
which sucks, but
that's
not why I don't like Screeching Weasel. That's just kind of another. Just kind of another layer.
You just there. Don't like Screeching Weasel because you just don't like Screeching Weasel.
Right.
You didn't like them from the jump. Since I met you, didn't like Screeching Weasel. You used to make fun of me for listening to Screeching Weasel. Me and Aaron M.
Yeah, man. Fucking bubblegum bullshit.
They weren't nearly as bubblegum as the Queers, though. That might be the most bubblegum band.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ramones Core was never my thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I'm pretty.
I grew out of most of it.
I like what you like.
Yeah, it's true. I tried to. Yeah. So I used to really like the Queers too back in the day. I tried to listen to the Queers relatively recently, a couple years ago.
Oh yeah.
I found an old CD when I was cleaning out my car and popped it in. It does not hold up. It does not hold up.
Did you throw it out the window like I did for Rancid and Out from the Wolves?
I didn't throw it out the window. I did throw it away. I was never going to listen to this again.
Hey, I know this isn't on your list, but Rancid, Tim Armstrong's kind of problematic. I don't know
if you
heard about this.
No.
Yeah, well, remember when the Distillers started getting big and their singer Brody was 17 and Tim was in his 30s and he could have... allegedly groomed her and then married her as soon as she turned 18.
She was 17? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Again, I don't really care for Rancid, so
you already didn't like Rancid anyway.
Right. Again.
So this is no problem for you. This is nothing.
Right.
This is like, it's so funny. My wife and I were having the same conversation about I don't fuck with R. Kelly music at all. Like,
yeah.
I don't gross. Listen to him, but I do still listen to Michael Jackson. And she says, so how can you separate the art from the artist from Michael Jackson, but not R. Kelly? And I was like, well, Michael Jackson, I grew up with Michael Jackson and he's way more talented than R. Kelly. Also, he's dead. So he's not going to benefit from me listening to him. Well, I mean, you even mentioned the other day, the Ben.
Oh, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's a song too that I'm just like, I fucking love that song.
So you know what you could listen to instead of the Michael Jackson version?
Mm.
The Crispin Glover version.
Oh yeah. I do like Crispin Glover.
Was it you who I watched that movie with?
Oh,
What's it called?
Willard, yeah. I'm pretty sure we watched it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the video at the end of the movie for his cover of Ben is beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I like it better than Michael Jackson's.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey,
not sorry.
Sometimes covers are better.
No, my wife and I, it seems like every time we go grocery shopping, we hear Michael Jackson and both of us loudly complain about how people can still listen to that bullshit.
It is too bad because... You know, I grew up with Michael Jackson and listening to Michael Jackson's music, and it's just so intertwined with so many memories that I have, and so like it does make it more difficult, to leave it behind than say something like, you know, Rancid.
the only record that really bums me out about Michael Jackson is Off the Wall because it's a banger.
It is.
But I don't listen to it anymore.
But
I don't enjoy it.
Here's the thing. Michael Jackson cannot benefit from anyone listening to his music because he is dead.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess my take on it is I don't like the way that it makes me feel now.
Oh, fair enough.
Because it's associated with that ugliness. It's not about support. It's about how I feel listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fair enough. And
I don't feel good. I don't feel good listening to it
yeah.
anymore. Because it, I associate it with a fucking child molester.
Right. So here's a question then, and I guess this is veering a little bit off the punk topic somewhat, but you know we got to bring up Joss Whedon during this conversation because we're both big Buffy fans, huge Buffy fans,
yeah.
And Firefly, which I still stand by Firefly, Firefly / Serenity universe. Is still mm-hmm. one of the great underexplored sci-fi universes that I would be interested in seeing again.
There's a lot of potential there.
As long yeah. as Joss Whedon has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a really good question. And I'm actually in the middle of watching Angel mm-hmm. right now. I'm on the last season of Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still watching it. I still watch Buffy like once a year. I go through the entire thing. It certainly is different now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things I see through different eyes
mm-hmm.
makes me a little uncomfortable. I will say that from what I heard in the season 6 episode where Spike assaults Buffy, that was not Joss Whedon. That was Marty Noxon who pushed for that.
Oh, really? Okay.
For those that don't know, Marty Noxon was one of the women writers of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That scene bothers me even more now. You know, the nostalgia I have for Buffy and Angel is so rooted in my pop culture lexicon that it's really hard to let that go.
Yeah.
Same.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You know, it's tough. Cabin in the Woods is a brilliant film.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Now, I have not gone back and rewatched Doll? Is that what that show was called?
Dollhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
With Eliza Dushku, who I love, yeah. but that show is not a good show for so many reasons. And I don't mean it was poorly done. I mean, just
the I watched it and really liked it.
Really?
Yeah. When it was running. And I rationalized away some of the creepier aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back now, I don't think that I can, I don't think those excuses hold up. And I think it's Josh's being creepy.
Yep. I agree. And, you know, for everybody who doesn't know, you know, what he's been accused of using his position of power to sexually harass women, bordering and potentially going into assault. And I know a lot of people have a problem with him cheating on his wife. That's not the thing that I have the biggest problem with. That's between him and his wife. That's none of my fucking business. If he had cheated on her with other consenting adults, then I'd be like, well, he's a shitty husband, but it's also none of my business. But that was not the case. And he's also just an absolute terror on the set.
He's a tyrant on the set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I basically said the same thing as you.
Yeah. The guy who played Cyborg in Justice League, whose name is escaping me. I mean, he almost quit the movie when Joss Whedon came aboard.
He quit the movie. Didn't he?
Oh, maybe he did.
He quit the show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They definitely cut a lot of his scenes. I mean, he was barely in that thing.
He's the one who opened the floodgates of Joss Whedon's tyrannical behavior and abuse.
Yeah. Good for him.
Michelle Trachtenberg
mm-hmm.
wasn't allowed to be alone with him on set. And I don't know if it's because he was such an asshole or because he was so creepy. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe both.
I don't know what it was, but he was not allowed to be on set and alone with her.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that sucks the most is how he used his vocal and vehement feminism as a cover for his abuse.
Right.
Sometimes the loudest voices in favor of something are cover for their actual abuse.
Yeah.
And Joss Whedon seems to be one of those, and it really fucking sucks.
It does. And I do want to say for, you know, all the allegations against him, this is all allegedly because he's never been charged with a crime as far as I know. So I don't want, you know, one of the three people who listens to this who, you know, maybe a big Joss Whedon fan to send him something and then he sues us for accusing him of things. This is just what people have said about him. And it seems like it is accurate because it's from a lot of different people on a lot of different sets who don't know each other. So it would be odd if they were all simultaneously on their own trying to take him down by telling the same story that they wouldn't even be able to collaborate on. But yeah, let's, I'll try to steer this back into punk rock, I guess.
Oh, I was going to say, since we're on the topic of movies and shows, we could talk about, God damn it, Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Kevin Spacey. Right.
Because he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
And was one of my favorites for many, 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 many years.
Yes.
I mean, top tier. Up until allegations came out. And I know he was found not guilty. But the percentage of false allegations is about 13%.
Yeah.
And I feel like the guy from Rent is pretty fucking credible.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would lie about that. So I'm gonna side with the victim on this one.
Right. That's Anthony Rapp, right? Is that Anthony Rapp?
Yes. Yep. Thank you. Yeah, that's his name. He was in Rent. My wife loves Rent, so that's kind of my association of him.
He was also in...
he's been in a lot of stuff.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Was he?
Yeah. He was the friend, the annoying friend.
How about that?
And then he was also played a scientist/engineer on Star Trek Discovery. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch a lot of Discovery, but I watched some.
Discovery had a whole lot of potential that it just didn't meet, in my opinion. And for all the right wing grifters out there, it wasn't because it was too woke or any shit like that.
Right.
They just had narrative issues that they could have fixed with, honestly, better writing.
So, Kevin Spacey, I can never watch American Beauty again.
No.
Like, I can't do it.
American Beauty,
it's too
no.
fucked up.
No, absolutely not. It's too...
It's too close to home.
It is. Baby Driver?
Used to be one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. I can still watch Baby Driver.
I haven't seen Baby Driver yet.
It is a great movie, and he is... One, he plays the bad guy, so it's a little easier to watch him like that. And two, he's not, like, a main character. He's not... He didn't like, it's not about him. It's not about his character. He didn't direct it. He didn't write it. He's just one of the actors in it. And he kind of plays the bad guy. So you can kind of, it's easier to ignore him in that one.
Yeah. I just watched Usual Suspects a couple months ago. Still good. I can mostly ignore the grossness in that one. Swimming with Sharks. What do you think about that one?
Great fucking movie. He does a phenomenal job in it. But man, I don't know if I can watch it again. I have not watched it since.
I haven't watched it since the allegations either.
And I don't know if I can.
The punk band Demod has a 7-inch and they use a bunch of samples from that movie. Every time I listen to it, I'm like, ooh, Swimming with Sharks.
Yeah.
The movie's so fucking good. I wish that he wasn't such a piece of fucking shit. Fantastic.
But you know what? He is not the only actor in that movie, too. Frank Whaley and Michelle Forbes both knock it out of the park in that fucking
Michelle
movie,
Forbes
too.
Is phenomenal.
She's awesome in everything she's in. She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
what's that? Spanish Prisoner.
All you other Star Trek nerds out there will know Michelle Forbes as Ensign Ro Laren from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so all you Battlestar Galactica nerds will know her as Admiral Kane from Battlestar Galactica. So
nice.
Yep. Yeah. And she was great
in
both those roles.
Yeah. The last non-punk, non-musician that we should bring up is Dave Chappelle. And Dave Chappelle.
I was going to bring him up. So, yeah, that's tough because I don't know about you. I was a huge fan of the Chappelle Show back when it was on.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, who wasn't? Who wasn't a fan of the Chappelle Show? And that's one of those people like Joss Whedon who we thought was on, you know, on our side, the side of, the side of the left, the side of
progressive politics,
you know, whatever you inclusion. Want to call it.
Yeah.
But
until he decided to go team turf, literally verbatim, I'm team turf.
Right.
Eh, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
For Dave Chappelle, I cannot separate the art from the artist because the art is the artist. So there's no separation there. And it sucks too because
I don't have anything else to say.
On top of that, I mean, Half Baked was one of my favorite comedy movies of the 2000s. I fucking love that movie.
Norm MacDonald's in that too, right?
No. You're thinking of Jim Brewer.
I fucking hate Jim Brewer.
So that brings us to Jim Brewer, who's also in Half Baked. And once again, you cannot separate the art from the artist because Jim Brewer, just like Dave Chappelle, when you're a stand-up comic, the art is the artist. So fuck Jim Brewer too.
Not only that, but even before his shitty politics came out, fuck Jim Brewer, because he's not funny.
No.
His job as a comedian is to be funny, and he's not fucking funny.
Right.
It's terrible.
Right.
His comedy has always fucking sucked. I've always fucking hated him. And now it turns out he's a huge asshole to boot.
Right.
A bigot. Fuck him.
And one thing you can say about Dave Chappelle that he has over Jim Brewer is he understands how comedy works and he knows timing. Jim Brewer doesn't. Yeah. Jim Brewer is...
He makes goat noises. That's all he does.
Right.
His bit on Saturday Night Live was making goat noises.
Yeah.
So he is Goat Boy,
yeah.
And his Stevie Nicks impression was just Goat Boy.
Yeah.
He's not funny.
Yeah.
At all. He sucks. And he's mean.
I'm glad we got to knock out Dave Chappelle and Jim Brewer in the same sentence because they're both in Half Baked, which...
Yeah.
It's too bad because, man, that movie is still funny as shit. It sucks. But how do you feel about, you know, bands that have... Obviously, we already know how you feel about the Sex Pistols and how I also feel about the Sex Pistols. So we can probably just move on from that.
Yeah.
Just wanted to give a quick, you know, shout out to fuck the Sex Pistols. Bullshit boy
band. They're not a real punk band.
Punk bullshit, yeah. But yeah, and you also said that you're not a fan. You were never a fan of the Ramones. And you've got Johnny and Dee Dee Ramone who are ultra conservative.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I was never a fan. I just didn't take them seriously as a punk band, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a power pop band.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, and they've got some okay songs.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call myself a fan, and I certainly don't care enough about them to give a shit about their politics.
Right.
I just don't care. Like, they're conservative, fine, whatever.
Yeah. Two of them. Two of them are conservative. It's not,
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And then you've got, you know, two people associated with the Misfits. You got Glenn Danzig and Jerry Only.
So, they're clowns.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're just fucking clowns.
Right.
They make fun music. It was never political. It was never serious to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's power pop that's horror themed.
They sing about which is
what it is. I mean, you know,
they sing about horror movies, and sometimes. And when I say sing about horror movies, I mean very literally. Some of their lyrics are "Return of the Fly," yeah, "Return of the Fly" with Vincent Price, yeah, "Return of the Fly." I mean, they're not
brilliant.
They're not saying anything. Brilliant. Which is so funny that I think it was a Glenn Danzig or Jerry Only who said you couldn't have a band like the Misfits today because it's not PC enough or something. And I'm like, your lyrics...
Yeah, I think it was Jerry Only.
lyrics are literally just Return of the Fly, yeah, with Vincent Price. I don't think anybody right. thinks that's controversial. You're just,
yeah, you could you were, be. You were never a political band.
Right. You're singing ever. Off of an IMDb page, I mean, which is, right. which is, you know, fine. Throw some instruments behind it and make it kind of sound kind of interesting. And it's fine. Someday you'll graduate to rudimentary P&I if you want real horror punk.
But right.
If you want to
get well, started. And maybe that's the distinction that should be made here is because, you know, the Ramones weren't political either.
Mm-mm.
So if they, I mean, they're not promoting their political message.
Yeah.
It's just their personal feelings, which whatever. You're not singing about it. You're not like recruiting people to fucking conservatism. You're singing horror songs or you're singing about a girl or sniffing glue.
Right.
Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But you know, you get somebody like SZA, for example, Scott Sturgeon, you know, they sing about political shit,
right?
You know? And so then like the hypocrisy there is maybe what is a bigger deal? Cause again, the Vandals, are conservative. I don't know if their songs have political lyrics. They mostly just seem like dick and fart jokes,
right?
Well, in their lyrics mostly.
The band, the band has put out statements about it before, and they say that the band is completely apolitical. The only one who came out as a full conservative is Joe Escalante. So I don't know if the whole band is conservative and they just stay apolitical.
Is he an asshole about it?
I think he's. I mean, he's definitely conservative, but I feel like he's more like a McCain conservative. Mm-hmm. Like he's just, I think he's just a wealthy guy who just likes holding on to his money right. more than anything.
Which is not punk rock.
It is not.
But no, also, not at all. I mean, that sounds like, that. I mean, that's just,
right.
that's just rich guy bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't change the way I feel about the Vandals because again, they're just a dumb power pop band.
Right. Right.
It's, you know. You can find fun and silliness in their music, or you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not like overtly pushing shit in your face or anything like that,
right?
To me,
yeah.
So it's mostly like an ambiguous power pop band.
Yeah,
politically ambiguous. I mean,
they have a song about mullets. I mean,
yeah, which is maybe their best song,
right? And they have a song. You know, about Planet of the Apes. They have a song about it. I mean, it's just, they're just silly. Now, what about more like insidious stuff like Rob Miller from the Amoebics?
Yeah, man, that was a tough one. Rob Miller has a friend who is a Holocaust denier. And some people called him out for it. He basically was like, it's just like their opinion, man. Freedom of speech. He's free to think that. And that's it. And this is somebody who came up in the anarcho-punk scene. And it was just really shocking to hear that. To hear him just be dismissive of it and not care about Holocaust denialism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he lost his newest band. And, you know, everybody quit because they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he lives on a Scottish island making swords. So, I mean, that's kind of just what he does. And he can just keep doing that and not play music anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to Amoebics anymore because it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. And that
it's
is
like a, it just feels like a slap in the face to, you know, the whole anarcho-punk movement.
It couldn't be more opposite from anarcho-punk than that.
Right.
You know, like supporting a Holocaust denier. And, you know, like we've said before, we have friends and family members who, you know, skew conservative sometimes. But at the same time, you don't have to platform them.
Right.
Also, like, I don't think I know anyone who's a straight up Holocaust denier. I think I would, I would ditch anybody who was, honestly. I don't care if they are a friend or family. There's a line and that's past it. But just being even generally conservative, I'd be like, hey, you know, you're my friend, but I'm not going to platform you. So.
Well, I mean, there's only one kind of person who denies the Holocaust. If it honks like a goose and steps like a goose, they're probably a fucking Nazi.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And Rob Miller is just fucking excusing it, and and that fucking sucks.
And
you know, and there, you know, then like Neurosis is another one that really fucking bummed me out. Scott Kelly from Neurosis has had multiple cases where his wife and kid have come out about his emotional and verbal abuse. I don't know if it ever got physical, but like the amount of gaslighting and emotional abuse that they went through, sounds fucking terrible. And you can't tell me that you were in a band with somebody for 30 years and didn't know that was going on. And the other members of Neurosis said they didn't know what was going on. They kicked him out as soon as the latest allegations came out. But other people knew about it beforehand. So you can't, I don't know how the band pretends they didn't know about it before this last incident, and they kept playing music with him. So that kind of sullies Neurosis for me. You know, and like, to be honest, my favorite record by them was Word is Law, which came out in like 92 or 93. It's their second record, and it's kind of the crossover from when they went from a punk band to a metal band. You know, their legacy to me, it's hard to overlook that. But maybe it's just because I was such a big fan, and like Parasocially, that like hurt a little more than some other bands, you know.
It always does. Yeah, when you're a fan of them, like you know, obviously, like you know, I don't really, you know, finding out that the Exploited are fucking assholes and rub elbows with white supremacists, I'm like, well, I don't listen to them anyway. Allegedly rub elbows with white supremacists. I'm gonna get sued by them. I mean, but
they're an 80s oi band. I mean, let's be honest, they peaked in the late 80s, and they're an oi band from Britain, and you know, it tracks that they would probably rub elbows with some boneheads.
But yeah, that
same with the, I don't know if GBH has the same issue, but I kind of lumped those two together.
But yeah, that one doesn't sting, because I never give a fuck about them anyway. So, and then, you know, on the other side, that, you know, there's like Total Chaos, who I also think is a shitty band, but they actually have really good politics.
Yeah,
from what I understand.
Well, I've also heard that they're incredibly nice guys.
Yeah,
they stayed with Leslie,
right?
When they played, and from everything I've heard, they're just super nice guys. But man, do I hate their fucking music,
right? And that's one of those things where, like, if somebody told me they listen to Total Chaos, I'd be like, okay, I mean, that's fine. I'm not trying to yuck your yum, because there's nothing wrong with them, really, other than the fact that they just don't appeal to me musically. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
They seem silly to me.
Right. Someone typed into, like, an AI generator, like, punk band from the 80s, and, like, that's what came out.
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Casualties, who actually do have, like, a history of bullshit by putting up with George and his sexual abuse of minors.
Oh, yeah.
And the band just set aside and didn't say shit about it for years and years. You can't fucking tell me that this shit was happening on tour and you didn't fucking know about it. Same with Anti-Flag.
Yeah.
Fuck Anti-Flag. That shit. Anti-Flag's, I never liked fucking Anti-Flag either. I always thought they were bullshit. But apparently, lots of people were really upset because I guess they had good politics and were just a shitty band.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, sometimes the loudest voice for something is covering for their actual actions
and abuse. Unlike you, I actually did like Anti-Flag. I was a fan of theirs before. Obviously, I'm not going to listen to that now, but that one was kind of, I mean, I'd kind of, I wasn't listening to them as much, obviously. You know, I listened to a lot more when I was younger. But I always liked them, and I always had, yeah, they had good politics, and I thought their music was good. And yeah, that one kind of stung. Like, same with Leftover Crack / Choking Victim. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, no, actually, those are bands I actually like. And, you know, it's a little bit tougher than, yeah, like The Exploited or somebody like that.
Right. Yeah.
Or Agnostic Front. I never really got into Agnostic Front, so.
No, I no. Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that is I just didn't like the East Coast hardcore scene. It just seemed too machismo and so much macho posturing that just was just dumb to me, but also Agnostic Front.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, they're pretty right wing. I think the whole band is. I don't know for sure, but.
Yeah.
And then there's other bands that kind of hurt too, like finding out that HR from Bad Brains is super homophobic was.
So that was a big bummer. Yeah, I don't know why that wasn't. I mean, nobody really talked about it.
Yeah.
Until 10 or 15 years ago was the first time I really heard about it, because nobody really brought it up, but it happened in the 80s.
You know? Right.
And, I mean, Dave Dichter and Millions of Dead Cops, like, were very vocal about how shitty they were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never really got super into MDC.
And it sucks, too, because, you know, the Bad Brains, maybe it just back in the 80s, it might have blended in because there was a lot of homophobia in the scene back then. But a lot of those bands and a lot of those people who were super homophobic either kind of faded away or changed their views as time went on. But it seems like HR has not changed his views.
You want to talk about the Flaming Lips?
Yeah, sure.
Flaming Lips were one of my favorite bands for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like moving up to Kansas City, they were becoming my favorite band probably. And then as we lived there and then moved to Lawrence, you know, I just continued to increase my enjoyment of them. And then Yoshime came out and I really enjoyed that record for a little while. It doesn't hold up. I don't really enjoy it very much anymore. I would say they peaked with the Soft Bolt and diminishing returns from there. And by the time I moved back to Wichita, I was like, you know, their new stuff is all right, but Wayne is definitely up his own ass now. And it just got tedious. And then our friend, I don't know if you remember Cliff or not. Do you remember Cliff?
Yeah.
From Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
He's originally from Oklahoma and knew them. And I think he toured with them and was like a drum tech or guitar tech or something helping them on tour. And he wound up being their, touring drummer for a little while. So when they toured, they hired Cliff to be their drummer. So Steven could play guitar and do other sounds and wouldn't have to play drums because he was doing double duty, or they would just have a recording of him playing drums, whatever. Anyway, so Cliff was their touring drummer, and then he became a full fledged band member. And then, around 2013, I believe, Wayne Coyne, the singer, got into some shit because he was hanging out with the governor of Oklahoma's daughter, who was in some shitty band. I don't know. She got into trouble because there was a picture of her wearing a war bonnet and people called her out for cultural appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big thing. For a little while where, you know, anybody who wore a war bonnet to Bonnaroo or any of those fucking shitty hipster music festivals were getting called out for bad behavior and stuff. And so he, in defense of her, posted a picture of himself wearing a war bonnet and his dog wearing a war bonnet, basically mocking people who called her out. And I think her picture, she captioned it as appropriate culturation instead of cultural appropriation. it was a big fuss at the time. And Cliff was vocal about how he thought it was bullshit and got fired from the Flaming Lips. And it was a pretty big deal at the time for fans of the Flaming Lips, I guess. There was a lot in the news about it. And, you know, that was super disappointing that somebody I respected musically and creatively would be such a fucking asshole about that. And then he started doing stuff with Miley Cyrus, and it was creepy. And I think he creeps on young women a lot. This is just personal feelings. I think that he is kind of a creepy old man, and is kind of skeezy. There's been no allegations or anything against him. I just, if I was a young woman around him, I would probably feel uncomfortable. I'll just leave it at that.
So
I can't really listen to much Flaming Lips anymore.
Can we just call it
it just kind of grosses me out.
Let's call it Russell Brand vibes.
Only he has allegations against it.
He does, yes. By many, many women.
Right. But he found Jesus and has been baptized on camera for his show. So
he sure has found a new grift.
All is forgiven. Right.
When he realized he was losing the left feminist audience, he just went full right wing. And he was like, well.
Yeah.
Because he never really believed in any of that stuff. He just needed an audience. Never believed in
anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a fucking grifter. He always has been.
On the flip side, there are a couple people who were accused of things that actually didn't do anything. One is Connor Oberst from Bright Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Was accused of sexually abusing a woman. And then, you know, he took it really hard, fucked him up really bad. And then she came out, I thought, like, a couple months later, and said that she made it all up. But the damage was already done. Like, a lot of people had thought that he had actually done it. So,
yeah,
you know, that's pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
No good. And then a similar thing happened to Isaac Brock from Modest Mouse. This is even before, I think before Lonesome Crowded West. This is 96 or 97.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Somebody accused him of sexual assault. Again, it wasn't true, and she recanted the allegations. That's not to say anything about behavior past that. I don't really know anything about it, but anything about him up to this point. But I know that he was accused at one time, and the accusation was not credible, and she took it back afterwards. So
interesting.
I mean, we could talk about some more conservatives like Fear.
Oh, Lee Ving
from Fear.
Yeah.
He's got a, you know, he proudly wears a Confederate patch. But I think that Fear is kind of like the Sex Pistols, and that they're manufactured. I don't think anyone put them together as a band. From my understanding, they were jazz musicians in New York and saw punk rock happening, and they're like, that's really dumb. I bet we could do that. And so they postured as punk rockers and were trying to be probably as edgy as they could be.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know how, I can't trust that anything they said was sincere.
Right.
So, you know, his stupid racism and homophobia.
Yeah.
Might just be edgy posturing to be, you know, punk rock in the 80s, or maybe he really is an asshole. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's played it up for 40 some years. So I mean, maybe it is his real feelings. I don't know. I don't care.
Like, right.
Fear's not high up in the echelons of influential punk.
That's one of those bands too, where I was just like, yeah, I found out that he was, you know, ultra conservative and, you know, wore Confederate patches and stuff. And I was just like, oh yeah, I don't really give a shit about Fear anyway. So
yeah,
this one's not tough for me. Yeah. Dwayne Peters from US Bombs. Don't give a fuck about them either.
I mean, he's the shit that he says and being a Trump supporter really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I never cared about U.S. bombs.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got mental health issues and has had traumatic brain injuries and stuff. Yeah. And again, it's not an excuse. I'm not excusing what he says or blaming what he says on that either. It's just something to take into consideration because traumatic brain injuries can change a person.
Yeah.
That's for sure. All I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
I don't, what he says doesn't matter.
Right.
Basically, you know, just, I just don't take it seriously.
Right. He's got a relatively small audience and probably not a lot of people who are going to be swayed politically one way or the other anyway. Right. I guess the last one I want to bring up is going back to sexual assault. I think the most unpleasant, hugest elephant in the room, but Jeff Ott from 15, one of our favorite punk bands. I feel like we do need to talk
scientifically
about
the greatest punk rock band.
Yeah, the greatest punk rock band. Right.
Scientifically.
Because I didn't know about the, as far as I know, very true sexual assault allegations against him until pretty recently.
And I found out, I think it was about 6 months ago, and I think I told you about it because I found out and I was like, what the fuck?
And this happened about it some. Decades ago. This was before 15.
Early
this
is, 90s.
Yeah, this would be 80s, like Crimp Shrine
era.
Era, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are two instances of sexual assault, and he admitted to them both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was homeless and a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
Not an excuse, not, just stating facts of the issue that he was homeless and abusing drugs and not in his right mind.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted to it. One of the women he has since found, reached out and apologized and asked how he could make amends. I don't know what happened in that situation, but I know that he wanted to try and make the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ever make that right.
No.
But wanted to take a more restorative justice approach to it. You know, right. What do you need to be okay with this horrible thing that I did?
Yeah.
And I don't know what came of it, but I know that he tried. Mm-hmm. And I think the other woman, he doesn't even remember her name. And, you know, she was also heavily addicted to drugs and, you know, don't know what happened.
Right.
It's hard to square that, but you know, it does seem like he was contrite and sorry and cared about trying to right that wrong.
Right. And even though I don't personally know him, it seems like anyway, I mean, he has a family now, and you know, it should be noted too that he is the victim of sexual abuse himself. Not an excuse. Once again, not trying to say that's an excuse, but abused people do end up abusing themselves many times. And it seems like he is not the same person who did that. Now, that being said, the women who were assaulted by him do not, they have no obligation to accept his apology.
Oh, absolutely not.
And also, if you are somebody who, because of that, cannot listen to 15, like I would not judge you for that personally. That's
right.
That's you know, that's up to you. That's if that's something that you can't look past, if you cannot separate that from the artist, or you think there's no amount of amends you can do, then that's your right to believe that. And I would never give you crap for not wanting to listen to 15 because of that. And I'm sure that there is an internal conflict within him that understands what he did and also knows that it was done to him. And that has to cause a lot of internal conflict within him, because how do you ask for forgiveness from somebody when you can't forgive the person who did it to you? And how can you square that in your own head?
Right.
And I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. 15 is still a great band. And I don't view the current Jeff Ott as the same person who did that decades ago. But I also understand why people wouldn't want to forgive that.
A lot of his songs are about surviving abuse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is that hypocritical, or is that healing, or is that apologizing? I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be all three. I don't know.
I do want to give some honorable mentions of people who have shitty music but good politics too. okay. I want to give a shout out to now deceased, so he can be added to the list of, you know, people we've lost. He died back in the 90s, but Lane Staley from Alice in Chains. Never a terrible fan of music. Alice in Chains. Never cared for their music, but he did beat the shit out of a Nazi in 1993 at one of their concerts.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. I think he saw somebody giving the Sig Heil in the crowd and jumped out there and beat the crap out of him. So,
yeah.
Congrats. Alice in Chains.
A lot of those, a lot of the Seattle grunge musicians were in the punk rock scene and were anti-fascist and anti-Nazi. I mean, Nirvana also. I don't fucking care about Nirvana, but they were always anti-racist, anti-homophobic, anti-Nazi. Pearl Jam, the same, you know. Don't particularly care. I like some of what's his name's solo stuff. He's got some decent solo stuff, but I don't particularly care for most of Pearl Jam. Eddie Vedder, that's his name, Soundgarden too. Same thing.
Soundgarden, fucking, I guess moving on a little bit in the chronology, but like System of a Down, never cared for their music. Didn't like it.
Good politics though.
Yeah. Good politics.
Well, he's Arminian. Yeah. So
the whole band is.
The whole band is? Okay. I don't know very much about him, but you know, I think the Armenian genocide probably has a lot to do with their leftist politics and where they stand on things. What about Rage Against the Machine?
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah,
I don't know. Has anything funky come out about them lately?
No. Well, no. I just mean how, like, on a major label. Leftist politics.
Yeah.
And
not even like hidden leftist politics. They're pretty blatant about it.
Make it make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never liked them. I always said, why wouldn't I just listen to Alice Rotten?
Yeah.
Right. You know?
I do. I probably like them more than you do. They're not like a top pick of a band I would listen to, but if they come on, I'm not rushing to change the station. I like him.
I don't take him seriously. I don't know why. I was listening when they got really big. I was listening to Asa, and I'd rather listen to these guys instead.
You'd already moved on. Major
label.
Yeah.
Making money for Sony.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about their collaboration with Run the Jewels?
I like Run the Jewels, but.
Little surprise, potential ally. I don't know. I haven't dug much into it, but I've heard that Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit is a huge trans ally.
Oh, good for him.
Which I found pleasantly surprising.
Yeah, I mean, he seems kind of like a douchey bro.
But,
you know, he, when I insulted him and his band to their face, they took it in stride and didn't like, they weren't babies about it. They were just like, oh, okay.
Right.
I mean, what else do you do to an obnoxious
19-year-old
punk rocker who says you suck? I'm just kind of like, okay.
I mean, I think the whole like like aggro bro kind of facade they put on. I mean, it's all part of an act.
Yeah.
Like they're probably just like normal guys. Like
maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It was the late 90s, early 2000s. So
yeah, it's true. I don't know for sure. Don't run out and buy a bunch of Limp Bizkit records before you look into it. That's a few articles I saw mentioned that Fred Durst had become a trans ally. So I don't know. Take that with a grain of salt.
That shouldn't be exceptional.
It shouldn't be.
But sadly, it might be.
Yeah. When you're looking, if you didn't know, okay, let's say it was the late 90s. And you showed somebody a picture of Fred Durst and J.K. Rowling, and you're like, which one of these two is probably a trans ally? You'd probably pick the wrong one.
Fred Durst looks like he's going to call me the F slur.
Right.
The majority of people that called me the F slur looked like him.
Yeah, absolutely. He does look like most of the people who beat me up in the 90s. So, yeah, follow us on social media. Go to our website, www.prairiepunkpress.com. From that website, you can find all of our social media. You can find all of our podcasts that we put out so far. And if you would like to donate, if you can become a patron on Patreon, or you can use our online tip jar, which is our Ko-fi page.
Thanks, Mr. Power, our one patron.
Our one patron, Mr. Power. Thank you again.
You are a delightful human.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your support.
If anyone's interested, we can make t-shirts too. Why not?
Yeah, if we get more patrons, maybe we can talk to River Rat Skate Shop about getting some patches made. Maybe shirts.
Get shirts, patches.
Or maybe LFK. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Somebody. We have lots of friends who screen print, so I'm sure that we could get some patches and shirts from somewhere. I don't know if River Rat would.
Yeah, maybe LFK would. I don't know. I've never been inside LFK. I know where it is generally.
I'm going to go pee and go to bed.
Yeah. I am also just going to go pee and go to bed. I sadly do not have a dog to walk anymore, so I guess that will no longer be my sign off.
I mean, you could go take a walk.
I could. I will probably not do that. In fact, very sadly, I used to track my steps every day. I'm probably just going to delete the app now. So.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I don't think there were any gaps filled this episode. That's pretty disappointing.
Nope. Yeah, just us kind of talking in circles about whether you could still be into stuff, even if people are shitty. I don't know. Yeah.
And for me, mostly no.
Yeah, mostly no. The conclusion we came to is depends.
Not to be confused with the adult diapers.
Yeah. Which are still
Maybe I should get so I don't have to go pee.
Right. Yeah. We could just keep podcasting. I have to
leave the show.
We could do one of those like 12-hour streams where we don't leave.
Yeah. There you go.
Do people
do that? Oh, speaking of which. I bet they do. Hmm. Speaking of that Monster Hunter game, I'm not fucking kidding about you getting it and streaming it with me.
All right. When's it come out?
We have a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. February 28th.
February 28th. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
You get it, and I'm going to teach you how to play it, and we're gonna stream ourselves learning you how to play it.
All right. Well, I'm a total noob at Monster Hunter. So
fuck yeah, you are.
Yeah. I played an interesting game. So I usually like first person shooters a lot, but after Danny died last week, I was like, I need something that's really not violent, really not just not that. I was like, I need something that's kind of like going to make me think and it's kind of life affirming. And I played this game called Return to Grace, which is like you can play the entire game in 3 hours. It's not very long, but it is like you're an archaeologist in the year 3850 and you're exploring Ganymede, which was they tried to terraform, but it was a huge failed experiment. So you find this old structure.
Xenomorphs?
What's that?
Is it because of xenomorphs?
No. So you're the archaeologist. You're the only character in the game that is not an AI. So
I think I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. You encounter no other characters that are not talking to you through your wrist communicator through the entire game. But it's interesting. The whole game is just you discovering things, like opening up the story, because you don't know, because after the AI crashed 1,000 years ago, it ushered in a second dark age because nobody had access to information anymore. So in the year 3850, people are less advanced than they were in the year 2850. Lots of like neo-futuristic, like Art Deco type of style.
Oh, and cool.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's it called again?
Return to Grace.
Return to Grace. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. Grace is
the big AI. Do you know what all platforms it's on?
I played it on Xbox. I don't know if it's available anywhere else. It's definitely available on PC, though. It's like an indie game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's on Xbox, then it's on PC.
Yeah.
If any of our five listeners are Monster Hunter fans or want to become Monster Hunter fans, I'm a huge fan of the franchise, and I play every game, and I will fuck shit up on Monster Hunter with anybody that wants to hunt with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.